Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show, Jerry Chien. He is the CEO of Gravity. Hi, Jerry. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Zaman. I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you doing?
I am good. And thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I want to start by talking about your background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Yeah, so I've been a senior executive in a wide range of different financial, insurance, and technology sort of roles within a wide range of different companies. And I've most recently built the world's first billion-dollar insurance program for cryptocurrencies. But yeah, I started on this journey building Gravity about 14 months ago with two of my other co-founders. So it's been an exciting journey, and we're nearing the launch of our official launch of our product. So we couldn't be more excited.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk about Gravity, what it is, and how the idea came about?
Yeah. So Gravity is how can I put this in a way? Gravity is fixing social media. So it's kind of a mouthful day. But really what we are is a chat app like WhatsApp, where you can combine and filter all of your different social feeds, like Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. All your different feeds right now are obviously, you're using all these different apps. And right now it's eating up so much of your time, and you're being pushed a ton of content that you don't really want to see. You know, your feeds are filled with a lot of advertisements and spam and clutter, and these algorithms are basically dictating to you what content you're seeing in all of these feeds. And really that experience is affecting, you know, people's mental health, their productivity, their privacy. And what we do is we give people complete control over their content in one place. So by linking all of your different social apps into Gravity, you can eliminate all the spam, clutter, and all that noise from your social media experience, and to basically streamline your use of social media in a way that is tailored to what you want versus what's being pushed to you by all of these social media algorithms.
Mm-hmm. So isn't there an app already which does this, or is this a unique and first app of its kind?
Yeah, this is the first app of its kind where you can actually consolidate all your different social feeds. It's been something that, as we embarked on this journey, was something that the complexity is definitely there to build an app, something like this, as you can imagine. But it's been something that, you know, we've been working on for quite some time, and we've been able to find a path to being able to deliver this sort of streamlined experience for our social media users, which we couldn't be more happy and excited about.
Mm-hmm. So through this app, it will provide me like a curated feed from various social media networks that I'm on. Does it also allow me to post to those social media networks, or do I have to separately go there and post my tweets, my social media updates?
Yeah, you still post on your existing social media platforms. What we're basically doing is, you know, we're allowing people to continue to use their social media apps, but to cut out the elements that are, once again, affecting their experience. So kind of like keep the good, cut out the bad is kind of what we're trying to accomplish. We're not saying delete your apps, because that's something that is almost virtually impossible for people to do, nor do they want to do it. You know, unfortunately, these apps are part of people's lives already, and their networks have been built in these different platforms. So we knew that we needed to come up with a solution that would allow people to still benefit from all the value that they've created on their social, you know, within, across their social apps. So that's one thing that was the focus of ours. And I think we found a very unique way to give everybody the best of both worlds, which would be, you know, enjoy the apps that you do enjoy, but make sure that the experience that and the time that you're spending on those apps are maximized to what your goals and objectives are on being social media.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of like pricing. Is this going to be a free app, or is it going to be for a fee? So can you talk more about that?
Yeah, it's a free app. And I think what's really exciting is that because we give people the opportunity to control their feed and what content goes into their feed, we actually allow users to basically build their own billboard. So the default is that you can block all ads completely. You won't see any ads in your feed unless you choose to. And once again, I think that not all ads and, you know, is necessarily a bad thing. I think people never like it when you say something out loud or you do a search and all of a sudden you're being bombarded with ads related to that topic. I think it creeps everybody out. So we definitely eliminate that. We block out all those ads. But what we do is we allow people to say, okay, I'm willing to see ads. Here are the type of ads that I'm willing to see. I want to see ads that are related to my interests. Like maybe I'm interested in food and, you know, entertainment, but I'm not interested in technology or retail clothing or things like that. Maybe I want to only see ads from my local community retailers versus big box brand stores. The user basically can control their experience, and they can also control how many, the number of ads that actually appear in their feed on a daily basis. And best of all, given the fact that they only see ads that they want to see, when an ad actually does appear in a person's feed, the ad rep profits that we generate from that particular placement of the ad, we actually share 50% with the user. So essentially, on our platform, users actually will receive compensation for seeing ads that they wanted to see in their feeds.
They receive compensation?
Yeah, they receive 50% of the profits that we earn from placing an ad in their feed.
Oh, so if they see an ad, you share that ad revenue with the user?
Yeah, so say Nike placed an ad in your feed. Say you say you like Nike or you like athletic apparel, and then Nike says, yeah, you know what? This, you're a customer that we want to target. Say Gravity makes 50 cents profit for that ad placement. The user will actually earn half of it, which would be, say, 25 cents equivalency.
Well, that's a very unique feature. You get paid to see ads.
Yes, ads that you are obviously interested in. So it's a way to create a matchmaking, and it works just as well for businesses as well, because what happens right now in this world is that businesses are spending tons of money advertising on social media and other digital platforms, and it's very difficult for them to track how well it's doing and to control sort of like how the campaigns are executed. It's very difficult for especially small businesses to execute. And, you know, one of the challenges is that you really just don't know if each individual customer, how engaged each customer it is that you're targeting on the platforms. And, you know, if a certain customer meets your demographic, you're spamming these users with a ton of content, hoping that they'll resonate. But you don't know how they're actually engaging, and you might get charged for multiple times those impressions are pushed to that user, and the user doesn't even want to see your ad. In our situation, we're going to our business and saying, these customers meet your target demographic, and they also are willing to see your ad. And we give the business the ability to actually see the level of engagement from each individual user's perspective to see if the business still wants to place ads with that individual customer. So we make it a mutual agreement for businesses and consumers to see ads and to engage and, you know, do business together.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. This is not something I've heard of. So this is interesting. So do you have any collaborations with brands who are willing to advertise?
Yeah, we can't yet announce that because that's still further down the road. We have our app will launch, we hope, in the end of May, early June. And that will be a launch with our chat and our social hub, but it won't have the advertising platform built in the very beginning. That'll probably come 6 months to eight, 6 to 9 months down the road. By that time, we should have some pretty substantial partnerships ready and lined up to support that model.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that you mentioned is or you referred to is the mental health impact of social media usage. So can you talk about what are the negative social mental health consequences of excessive social media consumption?
Yeah, I think what's probably something that is, and I'm not sure if you or your listeners have ever seen the Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma, but if you haven't, I highly recommend it. It really lifts, you know, it gives you an opportunity to look under the hood of what social media apps are trying to do and what their focus is on. I think that people generally understand that social media apps make their money off of ads, but what they don't understand is just the level of, I guess, how these social media apps have been designed to keep you on their apps or keep you coming back to their apps as much and for as long as possible is their fundamental goal. And they don't really have a filter in terms of what tactics they could use to bring you back or to keep you on. The problem with that, not having that filter, is that they can identify what kind of content will keep you engaged. And unfortunately, most of that content is negative content, or it's content that's meant to agitate you or to make you feel some type of negative emotion, because that's the most powerful sort of emotion that will keep you engaged, if that makes sense. So unfortunately, they push you this content that is designed to keep you on. And from an algorithm's perspective, they don't measure if this is a healthy piece of content or if it's a negative piece of content. They just know that this content will keep you engaged. So one of the examples they actually give in the documentary is when, you know, say you've decided to be on their app for a period of time and you're trying to just, you know, detox or just take a break from it. They'll know the buttons to push with you to get you back on, and they'll intentionally do this. What they'll look at is, and say, as an example, you had an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend that, you know, you tend to always look at their posts whenever they make any posts. They will actually send you a notification specifically regarding your ex to trigger you to go back in and look at that post. So you could have had 100 different friends make posts, but they actually would specifically know that that person, that ex, their post is what they should notify you of to go back and see that content to get you back on their app. So that's the level of kind of intensity that's there. And what most people don't also realize is that it's not just sharing you content that you don't want to see, or, you know, it's showing you content to move you to behave in a way that they want you to behave. Now, that sounds a little crazy and it sounds, you know, a little bit conspiracy type theory types of stuff, but they're truly pushing you or manipulating you to do things. And most of it is to make you like something or to make you buy something or make you interested in something. And, you know, it's all about, once again, pointed to how do they maximize your attention on their apps so that they can sell more ads or help their businesses sell more goods. So it's a very, you know, it's a very difficult thing for people to understand, because, you know, it feels almost natural that they're what they're experiencing, but it's very intentional from the parts of the social media apps.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you know, these big social media companies and apps, they are capitalistic and profit driven, and they're using unethical tactics to gain your attention and to have you use their apps you know, I guess they have an advertising model, so the likes, the engagement, they want, so they can monetize your attention span and sell to advertisers. So as users, we have to be very savvy about how much we use social media, and we should be. I guess the key is to have not to avoid social media completely, because it might have some benefits, but to have a balanced use so it doesn't affect your mental health and your emotional state.
Yeah, I don't think like the social media apps, when they were first developed, had this intention of, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and exploit and manipulate people. I don't think that's the intention. But once they realized that the you program the algorithm a certain way, well, here's the best way to actually do it would be this. And so that's the problem that they're in now. And they can't get out of that cycle, even if they wanted to, which is, you know, I think there is, you know, obviously the industry is a huge industry and there's a lot of good stuff that comes from social media and there's a lot of good people working at these social media apps. It's just, it's a very difficult thing to get out of once you're in it. And all of the apps are basically doing that, right? So the way that we've looked at this is, okay, so right now social media is all about trying to help the social media apps maximize their profits based on ads, right? And what we're saying is, what would social media look like if everything about social media was designed to actually empower the user to maximize their value as a consumer, their value as a creator, their value as a, you know, of a business, you know, and your time and your attention and your data is all valuable things, and your buying power are all valuable things that you should be able to leverage with this incredible power of social media. So we're trying to reimagine all the different things that we can introduce to the world through Gravity that can empower people to truly enjoy and benefit from social media in a fundamentally different way than it's designed today. And we have a pipeline of different features and products that we believe will once again allow people to not just enjoy a healthier experience, but one where they can capitalize on the value that they truly represent and increase their economic buying power and increase their influence, increase their, you know, just their level of positive sort of social interaction in their life. So that's what's fundamentally driving everything that we're doing at Gravity.
Mm-hmm. So the advertisers and brands, they have been benefiting from this, you know, algorithm and the way social media companies operate and capture your attention. So how do they feel, or how do they respond when you go to them and you suggest a different way of doing things? Are they responsive, or do they feel like, you know, the way things are, it actually works for them because the social media companies and giants, they know how to get the attention and how to sell products, so they want to stick to that?
Yeah, so the social media ad business is worth $100 billion, and 50% of all ads are never reach the intended audience. So 50% is basically wasted because it's just been spammed to people that did not want to see those ads or did not have an interest in seeing those ads. So I would say, as much as we make a big deal around users and consumers being sort of exploited for their data and attention, I think there's a lot of little tactics that social media apps and just apps or digital media in general use to just kind of ensure that they can charge a business for an impression or for an attention piece where there was no genuine interest from the consumer to actually see that piece. So it's spam that just truly ends up creating no value for a business whatsoever. So that is one part of it where we ensure that there's always 100% match between a consumer and a business in terms of what a consumer wants to see and what a business wants to target. And we make sure that we can truly measure the level of engagement, improve the validation of, you know, sort of like the attention that was given and engagement that was given by the consumer to the business. But I think what makes our platform even more unique and what's really encouraging to hear is a positive from businesses is that we've made it super simple and we made it a democratized way to advertise. And what we mean by that is every piece of advertising is the same price. And it's one where a business can sign up really easy, execute, and pay just a simple monthly subscription to reach X amount of customers And for every impression that you want to basically add, you just purchase per unit of how many more impressions you want to basically add to the world. So there is no bid auctions. There is no bullying of by big brands trying to gobble up ad space. It's really meant to give everyone on a business side a fair shot based on, you know, what's available in terms of consumer interest to their product. And we're really making it not just simple, but just something that's more traceable and, you know, have more insights where a business can truly track on a one-to-one basis the level of engagement by a customer. So, you know, I know that's a lot to sort of digest, but we're fundamentally changing the way in which advertising is done to make it more effective and obviously more, you know, just manageable and dynamically adjustable as sort of businesses are looking to reach customers online.
Mm-hmm. So since your app will also have like an advertising model, how do you protect the privacy of your users?
Yeah, so this privacy was the fundamental reason why we actually started Gravity, was to give users control over their data and all of their activity. Privacy is paramount. So once again, the default on our app is that users will not see any ads, and therefore, you know, none of their information is ever shared with the business. If the user then chooses to opt into seeing ads, once again, I went through the process, they can see what kind of ads they want to see and number of ads they want. We give users complete control over that, and we're never sharing any private information with the business. And of course, the user is authorizing us to share the public information. So when we say public information, say it's category of I'm willing to share my gender, I'm willing to share my age range, I'm willing to share my general interests, maybe my postal code, and maybe, you know, a few other very public demographics that wouldn't be individually linked to a user. So, and that would be enough for a business to say, okay, this is a targeted customer that I would love to reach. But then that person, that specific person, is still given a unique customer code, if you would. So you can still see and measure the level of engagement that customer has had with your brand.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So by default, users, the personal information of users will not be shared. And if they opt in, then public information can be shared, and they can see what kind of ads they want to see and how much ads they want to see. This is a pretty unique for a social media app to be so, to empower the user so much when it comes to privacy and when it comes to advertising. Do you think you will be able to profitably scale this kind of model?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously we believe there's a market for doing things the right way. And I think right now what happens is that all this profit is just being consolidated and concentrated within the social apps, right? And it should just be shared benefit between, you know, the social app, which would be, say, Gravity, and the users, who are the true product, right? We provide a means for, we're a vehicle for the users to maximize their value, and not the other way around. And I think that's a fundamental shift in the flipping of the script. But we truly believe that economic model has even more power than the current model, which is where users are being basically baited and switched into something, right? They're basically, the apps are basically saying to users, come enjoy this thing that's really cool. And meanwhile, we're going to find a way to monetize you, right? Whereas we're saying, no, let's figure out the best way to help you monetize that platform. And that fundamentally changes everything. And we have, you know, an ability to really create not just a better experience for everyone where there's less noise, but an experience that people can truly get value out of. And I think businesses also will, instead of having to like justify why you've spammed people or how you've scraped data together, to you actually get that data direct from a consumer, you know, and I think that we'll be able to price it in a way in which it's fair for everybody to be able to reach customers. And you know, I think that's a big, big shift in the marketplace. I think we'll be able to make it simpler for businesses that right now have no way or no ability to get online because it's so complicated or it's so, you know, they're priced out. Really believe we'll be opening up a whole new market for a lot of different businesses to reach customers online.
Mm-hmm. So when do you plan to launch the app?
So right now you can go to the App Store and the Google Store and the Android Store and be able to download, you know, I guess pre-order our app. As soon as it's available, it will be automatically uploaded into your phone or downloaded into your phone. It's going to be available, we hope, at the end of May, possibly early March, and early June. But, you know, we're listening to our customers. Currently, we have 20,000 people that have signed up for our waitlist, which is super cool. So we have a bunch of people giving us feedback on what they like and what they want to see more of and how we can make this an even better experience for everyone. So, we hope that by the end of May, we'll be all live and ready to go and people can jump in and start to change the way in which they sort of use social media.
Mm-hmm. So 20,000 users already is definitely a lot of interested users. And do you have a particular strategy to promote the app?
Yeah, what's amazing is that we had a goal of reaching 10,000 users on a wait list prior to launch. That was our goal ever since the beginning of starting Gravity. But we turned on our advertising for 1 week only, and we landed 20,000 people. So, and half of which were in markets that we didn't do any advertising in. So it's a global appeal for sure. We're very fortunate that we've had a lot of interest from all different parts of the world. In terms of scaling, what's unique about the chat feature is that obviously for it to be effective, you need to introduce your friends to chat with, right? So for every customer that we do acquire, I mean, the average person chats with 15 people. So we hope that there will be some potential chain reactions that will happen with each of these 20 people that our wait list will translate into multiples and multiples and multiples as we go along. So we definitely are focused on an organic build where we get people that are truly passionate about this and really can be champions for us. But we also have a very, very aggressive marketing strategy that will be working with a couple of great agencies, Durell Communications and Counterculture Agency, which have worked with some of the biggest brands in the world to help us amplify sort of our awareness around, you know, different markets. We're overwhelmed and humbled by the support that we've received. And, you know, we're excited to bring this to the world for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are your user acquisition and revenue targets for this year? What do you plan to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously you want to grow the right way and you want to make sure that you're able to listen to your early supporters and your customers to make sure you deliver the right products and things like that. So we'll be focused on just growing our user base to the extent that can support that. I don't know if we have a number in mind. I would say that, you know, WhatsApp has like 2.5 or something billion customers, and I would say that, you know, Telegram has, you know, 500 million, I think it is. I may have those two wrong there, but big numbers. And there's a lot of people moving around right now from WhatsApp to Telegram and to Signal, and people are looking for alternatives. And I think what people are finding is that it all kind of feels the same, even though maybe Telegram and Signal may have better, you know, privacy settings for people to manage their chat platforms with. But we certainly see that there's a little movement, and we're hoping that, you know, we could have a pretty big, nice alternative for the world to sort of look at when they're trying to find a chat experience that is current and up to date with the way the social sort of world is set up right now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. Did you have to fundraise, or did you finance this venture yourself?
Yeah, so we funded this ourselves. We bootstrapped this thing, and it's been, you know, I would say that, you know, this journey of setting up a company in the social media space is not one where investors line up to try to jump on it. They think it's a graveyard of ideas. But we obviously believed in it enough to quit our roles and our jobs and our, you know, and spend the last almost a year and a half working on this as well as our own capital. I think what's exciting for us is that, we've gotten now to a point where we are capturing the attention of investors and stuff like that. But now we're able to say, hold on. What we're going to do is, what we ultimately want is our users to become, part, co-owners of Gravity. So what we're, able to, offer, Canadian investors right now, starting as of tomorrow, actually, they will be able to participate in an equity crowdfund, for Gravity, where for as little as $1.04 per share, they can be one of the first investors into Gravity. This is something that's been a goal of ours from the very beginning. We wanted our user community to become, you know, have a, to be rewarded and to enjoy the success as we enjoy our success. So we're excited. Yeah, we'll be announcing that as of tomorrow. So you're getting a sneak peek into this, but basically our users will now be able to invest into Gravity. We've allocated a certain amount of shares that will be available to do this. And we hope that the users in Canada will take advantage of this.
All right. That's pretty amazing. Well, Jerry, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about your amazing product. It seems revolutionary and breakthrough. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you so much, Sam. I really appreciate it. And let me know if you ever have any questions or anything that I can fill you in on.
Mm-hmm. You want to share your website? How can people find your app?
Yeah, please go to gravity.ai, and that's two V's. And you can go to the Apple Store and or the Android Store and pre-order the Gravity app on your phones.
All right. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about this amazing social media app, which will be available soon. And you can definitely go to the website and learn more. And thank you so much for listening to Soncast, and stay tuned for more episodes.